Hey everyone, welcome. Welcome to another episode of Healing the Parent Wound. Formerly, this podcast was called Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents, and I have changed that to Healing the Parent Wound. My Facebook group, the name has also changed to Healing the Parent Wound. So that really is what we're doing, right? So it comes to a point that, you know, navigating no contact is really the first step, and the rest of it is just beginning, right? Unpacking, dissecting, getting through all the layers and really getting healing, because no contact can provide some healing. It gives your nervous system some space. It gives you some clarity. It gives you some viewing things as more of an observer, you know, as you take yourself out of that dysfunctional dynamic. But the real work begins when we unpack everything that happened to us and how those patterns show up in our adult lives. Because even if we go no contact, those patterns are still there. We've got to, you know, really dissect the complex and developmental trauma. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today, because why is developmental trauma so complex? Because it is so layered, and healing is not linear. So one of the things I want to talk about today that's really important, because this, I see this all the time, is the minimization and denial that runs in dysfunctional families. And you probably will even notice yourself doing this. It's a common theme, and it hinders our healing. And that's why it's so important to get support through a therapist or a very well-trained, trauma-informed coach. Even a therapist, you know, should be trauma-informed and really versed in family of origin, dysfunctional family dynamics. Really, really important. That's my own lived experience myself. And then training in somatic experiencing and parts work, which I think are two of the most gentle, effective modalities or therapies out there today to heal complex developmental traumas, right? And that's what most people have. Developmental trauma is what most people have that they don't even know that they have, right? And that was me. I didn't even know I had trauma. And wow, was I mistaken. So the level of minimization and denial that we do in our own lives really contributes and hinders our ability to heal. And it's not, you know, it's not really conscious. And so that's why it's so important to get help to really dissect and understand how things, you know, why this is so complex and how this operates in your own family. Yeah, so my name is Tracy Principe. I'm your host of this podcast. And I've had a tough couple of years. So this podcast has started up and stopped and started. It seems like the past 2 years, as everyone has experienced health issues. I actually got COVID for the first time just this last June. It was horrible. And it just seemed as I was coming out of one health issue or thing, something else would happen. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but I'm hoping to get back on track and provide you with some really exciting guests who are professionals in the field of trauma and trauma being stored in the body, all the things that I'm so passionate about. And open this up a little bit more to not just parents, but really how that trauma is affecting you and your partnerships, your children, your own children, right? There's so much. So again, going back to today's topic, why complex and developmental trauma is so hard to recognize and really, you know, understand in dysfunctional families. So let me ask you this. Did you ever feel as a child that something was wrong with your family? A lot of people will tell me that they did sense that something wasn't right. And that was certainly true for me as well. So if you sensed that something wasn't right, that's And that's really common that you sense that as a child. And I sensed that at a very, I mean, from the time I can remember that something was wrong with my mother, but I didn't know what, and there was nobody really validating. There wasn't the internet. I grew up in the 70s. So, you know, I just didn't have anybody validating my experience. So if you ever felt that, that was, you know, that was truth. That was the truth. That was your, you know, insight, your wisdom, your intuition. The problem with dysfunctional families is that most of the people around you, parents, other family members, they're all part of that same dysfunctional unit that is minimizing and denying their own pain, right? To stay in connection with the family and to, you know, not, you know, to sweep everything under the rug, ignore the elephant in the room kind of thing. So let's say, for example, you had a parent that was an alcoholic or, you know, drank considerably more than normal. And maybe that just seemed normal. So two things could happen. Maybe that just seemed normal because people were making excuses for that person's behavior, right? And, you know, maybe they were an alcoholic. Maybe they had some other issue. It's the same kind of theme. So, but I'm just using alcohol as an example. Other people in the family, even friends, you know, whatever, are making excuses for the person's behavior. You know, maybe the person doesn't drink all the time. You know, maybe they only get belligerent once in a while, or they have this one incident that everybody is like, oh, well, you know, that only happened one time, right? That's not going to happen again. And maybe this person even made promises. You might have heard them, you know, make those promises that won't happen again, or they're going to quit drinking or whatever. But the theme is that other family members are making excuses and enabling bad behavior. And maybe you even find yourself making excuses. So, and I see this all the time with clients and people that I talk to. They will literally say that, oh, well, you know, my dad, yeah, he drank, but he didn't drink every night. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't violent. Or he, you know, he only, passed out one time, or he only, you know, he didn't hit anybody. He punched a wall. I hear stuff like that all the time. You know, he wasn't physical with anybody, but he, you know, he punched a wall, right? That's violence. It's still violence. So a lot of minimization and denial of this family system. And that is learned behavior, right? That is learned from other family members that were probably saying these things either to you, or you heard in conversation these things happening. And again, it kind of just became normalized. Or, you know, people will say, oh, well, that's, you know how dad is, or you know how mom is. That's just the way they are. Or maybe even somebody saying, well, that's just the way I am. Like that, like you have to put up with that, right? So really, you know, again, if we're not aware of that, those types of coping mechanisms and dysfunctional family dynamics, we are also in that. And when you're in that dynamic and you haven't gone no contact, you haven't set boundaries, or you haven't, you know, it's hard to dissect it when you're in it, right? And so that's why it's so important to, the first step is taking yourself out of that to get that clarity, right? So, and again, these are the dynamics that when you're a kid, you might know something is off, because a lot of clients will tell me this too. Well, I saw I went to my neighbors a lot, or my friends, and their parents acted different, right? Their parents were different than mine. There was something different. It was a feeling, right? And oftentimes they will say, it was a feeling as a kid, something felt different, or they were communicating differently, or there seemed to be cohesion and connection, and, you know, nobody was drinking or, you know, excessively drinking or being belligerent or violent or angry or rageful, right? Things like that. I hear that all the time. So then that also kind of validates like something is wrong with my family. And some clients will even say, I was embarrassed by my family, didn't have friends come over. Lots of clients say that, you know, they fantasized about running away, or they might have even tried to run away, even if they just ran away to the neighbors, right? And there could also be a trapped feeling of feeling really trapped when there's a lot of chaos and drama going on and you can't run away and you can't fight back. There can be this trapped feeling, well, I'll just go in my room or hide in my closet, stay out of the line of fire, stay away, you know, try to resource myself by doing, you know, playing music or reading or just staying in my room and using my imagination, right? All those coping mechanisms that you might have picked up in childhood because of what was going on with your family. And there wasn't really a way to have your needs met or even know what your needs are because you had to manage mom and dad, or you couldn't ask for what you need, or if you did ask, again, you were met with gaslighting or some type of, you know, invalidation. I had a client tell me that, you know, they asked their mom, why was dad passed out on the floor? And the mother said, oh, he's just sleeping, right? But the client, who was a child at the time, knew that that wasn't true. They knew, right? Kids know, right? We know that inherently, intuitively, that the father was passed out from alcohol. He wasn't sleeping on, you know, taking a nap on the floor, right? And another parent would be making excuses for that person. But the child knows the difference, yeah? So, you know, thinking that I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are on that. Because it's really important to think, you know, when you think back on that, did you know that something was off, right? And I ask my clients this all the time. Did you, you know, when, how old were you when you knew something was off? Something wasn't right. And it's always, always a feeling that comes from your body. Again, the feeling we get shut off because we, you know, we have adults that are also in this dysfunctional dynamic that are going to cover up, they're going to enable, they're going to minimize and deny the impact of what's going on. And then we take that on and we also minimize and deny the impact of what really went on. And so this is why you can't just talk about trauma, because the mind is going to minimize and deny and, oh no, it wasn't that bad. It was okay. Or I don't even have trauma. But the body is telling a completely different story, right? So when I see people and they're telling me a narrative and I'm looking at their physiology, their body, it's a complete disconnect. And that, again, is normal, that minimization and denial that we even do to ourselves. Because children need their parents, even if their parents are monsters. Children need their parents. That's a biological need, right? Inherent need. They need their parents to survive. And so even if you have these abusive parents or neglectful parents, you still need them to survive. You can't survive on your own. And so you're going to do whatever you can to stay in connection and relationship with them. And that usually means catering to their needs, going along with whatever the family dynamic is going along with. And keeping yourself safe. That's how you survived, even if you knew inherently that there was something wrong. But there was no adult in charge to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to set a boundary. We're leaving. Or, you know, this isn't whatever. Yeah, whatever was going on. Nobody was telling the truth. Nobody was being authentic. Nobody was being real. And so then that's why it's so confusing. Yeah. So I hear this all the time from people. They say, yeah, everything was so confusing. Well, that makes perfect sense why it was confusing, because you had these conflicting dynamics going on, right? And it creates confusion and chaos. What's real? What's not real? What can I trust? What I can't trust myself? This is why trauma survivors have a really hard time trusting themselves, right? Especially in adult relationships. The red flags to a trauma survivor can seem like green flags, right? We've all been there, yeah? Red flags seem like green flags. Because we don't know, we can't trust it, right? We go with what's familiar rather than what's unknown. So that's why it's so, so complex and layered and complicated to get through all of this. And it takes a lot of time and unpacking and unwinding all of these really, really complex, relational dynamics, and relational wounds, right? Because this trauma happened in relationship. And then the problem, the other problem is that if you leave the family as an adult, again, if most people are like, oh, I had enough, or there was something that set you off, the straw that broke the camel's back, you said, wait a minute, something isn't right here, I'm done. And you call out abuse and those people are holding on to that system, that dysfunction that's been passed down through generations and generations. And again, this isn't conscious, but they haven't acknowledged their own trauma. And so they're going to hold on to that dysfunction in the family system to keep it going like that, right? To keep that dysfunction going. So then when one family member stands up and says, hey, wait a minute, this is not okay. All those family members and extended family members are going to go into survival mode themselves, right? They're going to go into their own survival mode. So they're going to get angry. They're going to shut down. They're going to lash out. They're going to fight, flight, freeze, disappear, whatever they do. Yeah. That's their trauma response. It has nothing to do with you. It's their trauma response. And they need to hold on to that dysfunction like their life depends on it. And that is confusing. So there's another confusing point, is that people come to me and they're like, I don't understand why, my family member can't just be accountable. It would be, it would make sense that you just be accountable, you apologize, you go to therapy, you do whatever you have to do to make it work, right? And that's really hard to understand why people wouldn't want to do that or care enough about you to do that. And it's devastating. And it really, really hurts. And it causes loneliness and isolation and more, re-traumatization, right? But the truth is that that isn't how their brain works, right? A healthy person would offer repair. There would be a rupture and they would want to repair it. That's what healthy people do. But unhealthy, toxic people don't have those skills in the least. They don't have one iota of a skill to be able to do that. So when you call out abuse or say, hey, I need you to be accountable, I need you to go to therapy or whatever you need them to do, and they lash out and they push back and they blame shift and, all the things that they do, they have gone into survival mode. Not that it makes it okay, and not that you have to put up with that, right? But that's their own trauma. And even if your family, other family members tell you, oh, well, mom or dad has, trauma, what happened to them, and I'm sure it was horrific if they're acting like this. But however, it doesn't give them carte blanche to act out their traumas and repeat their traumas on, their children or adult children, grandchildren. you know, they need to be responsible. We all need to be responsible and take responsibility for our, you know, our traumas and our behaviors and patterns that we are bleeding onto other people, right? So that's how it works. They're not willing to do that. Again, they don't have enough self-awareness to be able to do that. And unfortunately, I rarely see that. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people. I talk to you all. And I just never, hardly ever see that. And it's really sad. And it's unfortunate that they can't recognize it, come to terms with it. They just, you know, they're just going to repeat it. So a lot of times it's not going to be possible to have a relationship with them because they're not available for that. You might have a very superficial, very limited relationship once you work through your own stuff so they don't cause you those triggers, right? So the triggers that you have is an indication, an activation in your body, a trigger, an activation, right? That your nervous system is responding to a threat from the past. And they actually might be threatening, right? But most of the time as adults, we don't see them as threatening. Our little wounded parts, our little wounded children see them as threatening. So once you heal that, that's where the liberation and empowerment really come in. And then you get to decide. It's all about choices. You didn't have choice as a child, but you do have choices as an adult. But we have to train your nervous system so that your nervous system knows that you have choices. So every time you interact with a parent, it's not sending you back to that wounded child part of you that is helpless, right? The helplessness, the lack of choice. We strengthen the healthy adult self and regulate that nervous system so that you can go ahead and have that choice to decide how you want to handle your parents. And that makes boundaries much, much easier to set and maintain. And, you know, if you have a parent that you can have, you know, very limited contact with, and you set a boundary, or, you know, there's not going to be that charge in your body, right? It's not going to send you back to that place of despair and overwhelm and anxiety and, you know, all the CPTSD symptoms is really what happens for a lot of people. It's not going to do that. You're going to be solid and safe in your own body, and you're going to be able to make those decisions. And what happens with that is it trickles out to all your other relationships, because I guarantee the people pleasing and the fawning, that will show up at work, in your partnerships, your romantic relationships, your friendships. It will be everywhere. I see this in everybody I work with. Or even other extended family members that you still have contact with, right? Boundaries are really hard, and boundaries are super hard to set with family members. And so again, we go into that fawning because we, you know, and people pleasing, and we self-abandon. And that's learned behavior from childhood, and it's not healthy. It's not being authentic. It's not being true to ourselves, right? The truth is that feeling in your body that lets you know that something is off. If you don't feel that, that's okay. That's really common to just not feel anything, right? To feel numb or checked out or totally dissociated from your body. And you might not feel any of that. You might not even realize that you're stressed or that you have body sensations or that your body is letting you know something's off, because you are very, very farly disconnected from your body. And that's very common too, to not even know. And again, when we grow up with childhood, you know, developmental complex trauma, we have a very high stress tolerance. So it could seem normal because we grew up that way. So a lot of people will tell me they don't feel stressed, but the body, again, is telling a completely different story. And when we get in touch with it, slowly through nervous system regulation and awareness, then you realize just how much you were ignoring the signals from your body, because you learned how to do that, because that's what everybody else in your family is doing and most likely is still doing and going along with those behaviors and dysfunctional dynamics that are at play, right? And again, if your family member has a personality disorder or a mental illness, undiagnosed or diagnosed, or an addiction, alcohol or drugs or something, they are not going to have that away, you know, they're not going to be able to give you what you need. They are not going to have any ability to self-reflect or have self-awareness or you know, acknowledge, and it is zero chance of that happening. Now, if somebody got sober, that could happen, right? There is a possibility, but you can't count on that, right? And you can't make somebody get sober or help them get sober. They got to figure that out for themselves. So, you know, and that goes with anything. They've got to do it. And if they're not willing to do it and look at that or even see what they're doing as a problem, it's very unlikely that that's going to happen. So coming out of that fantasy bond, that trauma bond with your parents, if you're looking for acknowledgement, love, an apology, if you're in that stage, it's totally normal. And, you know, it's, again, it's a biological response that you want that. The problem is that it isn't going to happen. So we got to come out of that fantasy bond. And that's really hard to do. And I help clients with that as well. So that's why this healing, this work, it can't be done alone. You absolutely need help and support. It is so, so complex, so layered, so, so complicated that it absolutely requires support and going through all of this. And, you know, again, depending where you were at, I always tell people no contact is the first step. It doesn't have to be forever. Just to give your nervous system a break, just to get some clarity and remove yourself, and you become an observer instead of being in that movie, right? And that helps. And then when we build your tools and your esteem and your resilience, then again, you go back as the healthy adult and you have a lot of choices in how you want to do it. Some people stay no contact. Some people go back and, you know, have some superficial relationship. Some people set boundaries. You know, it really depends on the parents, what's going on for your parents, what their capacity is, and, you know, and what kind of relationship with, you know, you want. And I help clients set those boundaries, figure out their values that comes from your body and how you want to handle your parents, and it's totally, again, your choice. You have choices, and that feels more spacious than the constriction of being helpless and having no choice, right? So again, this is really, really, really complex, layered work that absolutely requires a ton of support. Yeah, if you're somebody that you are used to doing everything on your own, give yourself the gift and give yourself permission to get support. Can't be done alone. All right, y'all. So happy to be back. Please join the Facebook group, Healing the Parent Wound. If you aren't already in there, ask questions in there about any of this developmental complex trauma. Would love to hear your thoughts, what else you want to learn about. And we're going to put that together for you with a lot of special guests and trainings and demonstrations of this work, because it's actually kind of even hard for me to explain because it's not cognitive. It's better to see it in action because it's really, really, really cool. And my clients explain it and in words and a language that makes way more sense than me trying to explain this somatic and parts work and how that helps you reparent yourself. So, Facebook group again is Healing the Parent Wound. Find me on Instagram, Tracy Principe, and hope to see you there and connect with you soon. All right. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Healing the Parent Wound with Tracy Principe.